For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Believe in UCLA Football Podcast. We'll be here with a new episode for you right after this quick note.
Bet Online is your number one source for all of your betting needs. Get the latest odds, lines, and matchup reports for baseball, boxing, golf, and more. BetOnline continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wager, including live betting and your favorite casino and card games available to play right from your phone. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and get in on the action. Remember to use the promo code BELIEVE for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts.
Hey, everybody, we got a great episode in store for you guys today. Deshaun Foster, the running back coach and the associate head coach of the UCLA Bruins, is joining the show here today. Now, before we get started, I just want to give you guys a heads up. There was a little bit of an issue with some of the audio at some points throughout the podcast, but it's still in pretty good shape, and I think you guys will really enjoy it, especially if you're a fan currently of the Bruins and are looking forward to following them this season. There was a lot of great nuggets that I was able to take away, and I think you guys will as well. Some of it includes kind of the mindset that the Bruins have for recruiting. Deshaun Foster talked about some of that. He also kind of talks to Woodsy here about some of the impact that COVID had for some of the guys who were looking to go pro, and just some of the incoming class and incoming guys coming in and how COVID still kind of impacted them. He also talks about what's in store for him in the future potentially and what he likes to see for himself kind of going forward. Foster also lets us know how he's managed to kind of keep things consistent at the running back position over the last couple of years at UCLA, especially with four guys, one in each of the last 4 years, having moved on from UCLA and getting drafted into the NFL. And get ready for the latest episode of the Believe in UCLA Football Podcast. Hello, 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 and welcome back to another episode of the Believe in UCLA Football Podcast. My name is James Williams, a reporter and editor for the Orange County Register and the Southern California News Group. And as always, I'm joined here by my co-host, former UCLA linebacker Josh Woods. Josh, what's going on, man?
You know, enjoying the good Vancouver air. The season's going well, but, you know, it's even better when we get a very, very special guest. Mm-hmm. I mean, a SoCal legend, a UCLA legend, an NFL legend, another UCLA legend again.
Two times Hall over.
Coach Deshaun Foster on the pod this week. What's up, Coach? How you doing?
What's good, bro? How you doing, man?
You know, living life, you know, okay. Growing up. Figure things out as I go along the way.
And still playing ball though.
Still playing ball.
Ball's yeah. Life, isn't it?
Exactly. It's just more comforting, huh?
It's how do I put it? I mean, it being the job now, like it is more comforting the fact that this is what I get to do for a living. But at the same time, I wanna, you know, keep going and like take it to another level. So like that's the stress and the pressure that I'm at. Like you know, I'm like, of course I'm not satisfied. So it's like, how can I keep getting better and, you know, do that? So like but of course I'm still playing ball, so that's definitely a blessing.
There's nothing wrong with that though. It's always good to still play ball, and you know, you're still striving for something though. So
yeah. And I mean having you on, you're one of the big parts of why I kept going. I remember I had asked you, I think it was after the LSU game, like, how long should I keep chasing this? Like, you know, when is the time where it's like, all right, let me just move on with my life and, you know, start the next chapter? And you told me, like, you know, you still got it in you. You still really want to do this and keep going. And then I think literally a few weeks after that, my agent gave me the call, like, oh, we got a green light to go up north. So now I'm here in my third year up here, contract year. So we'll see what happens next. But definitely shout out to you, Coach Foss, you know, for keeping me going.
I just know it was being a football player. I know how it is when you, when it's taken away from you, you know, and you lost it with the injury, the way that it went down. So it was just unfortunate for that to be your last year. You know what I mean? Like, it was just a, just the timing of it all, which is bad. But I'm glad that it worked out though. You're still able to play ball. There's still avenues to play ball. That's the number one thing that, I like. It was tough when I was coming out, because if you didn't make it to the league, it was kind of hard to go to Canada, and then there weren't any like USFL, XFL, any type of league like that. So I'm just glad there's avenues for you guys to play and get back to your goal and keep going.
Yeah. You know? I mean, and especially a lot of dudes in my class coming out with COVID and everything. Yeah. I mean, I know a lot of dudes with talent that they just didn't have opportunity, and now, you know, they were forced to move on, and now it's like they can't try to hop back into playing and stuff like that. But yeah,
well, and I didn't think it would affect you guys like that. I didn't think COVID. I think I thought that they would understand. You know, like it would just be a general understanding from everybody. Like, this is what happened this year.
Yeah,
weird how.
I think it's just like, yeah, I feel like nobody knew the extent of COVID, and like we're still seeing the lasting effects of it. Because I mean, there was that our big my class. I mean, and like just guys I know from like all across the country that were at all the different schools. It's crazy hearing like the guys that did get invites to camps or like tryouts and stuff like that, and the guys who didn't. And then like some things really don't make sense. So like, I mean, I don't know how they went about it, but then it was like the next year, it's like, well, we got this new class. So it's kind of like, if y'all got your opportunity or not, oh, well, like we got to start evaluating the next, you know, the next wave. So it's kind of like guys got screwed that way. But I mean, luckily I was blessed to get a shot and still doing this. But how has the COVID affect you in recruiting?
This class, this 24 class, is the last class that have a COVID year in high school. So it was just tough because a lot of kids struggled. So then, you know, they got to make that up. So that it hurt because it kept me away from a couple running backs that I might have wanted to be able to recruit. But due to their circumstances and COVID, you know, we weren't able to recruit that. But this 24 class is the last class that should happen with.
So it should be pretty normal moving forward.
Yeah, moving forward after this class, it should be good.
Because that affected that affected scholarship numbers, right? So like that's where it's like, oh, so we have to the kids with extra years, now we don't have those available spots.
It's just stuff that never happened in college football happens altogether. We had COVID, we got the portal, you know what I mean? Like it changed the whole dynamics of high school football recruiting, period.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, like it's a whole different dynamic now.
Speaking of running backs, you have been able to recruit. You have a good crop, and you've sent some off to the NFL. The ones you have currently on the roster, and, you know, it's hard to leave, you know, I'm going to leave people out, but that, you know, we're not totally excluding them. But Carson Steele is the name that's out there. TJ Harden is one that you recruited out of high school. Tell me a little bit about TJ's development. I know we saw him play a little bit behind Zach last year. How is he kind of coming along so far for you guys?
TJ's last two games, he played really well. Played the Cal game, went all over, and the bowl game, he did a great job picking up pass pro, running hard. So, you know, he's ready to take that next step. He's really coming to take that next his game to the next level. Going into a sophomore season, it's kind of funny because he went from a freshman to be a veteran in the room. You know, so it's just funny how a year changes everything for you. Coming in, we have the Carson Steele coming in, who's a proven back in college football. You know, he had a great spring, came in, learned the offense. He was all around back. It was just good to see him develop and, you know, figure out. I had to figure him out, like, how he learns and how he learns like that. So it was pretty fun this spring.
So sometimes it's not a matter of how they can obviously you want them to fit into your system and what you do, but sometimes it's about kind of figuring them out and find out what works best for them and adjusting sometimes your game to their game.
Well, we're teachers, so you got to be able to teach. You know? So I got to figure out how to learn. And it's just like you said, like I want them to be comfortable instead of making them uncomfortable. You know what I'm saying? Like, let's figure it out for him and make it the easiest transition as possible. So I'm just excited for my room. I got a lot of good guys in there. Colson Yankoff is another running back that played well towards the end of the season last year. Don't forget about Keegan Jones. He just did a little bit of stuff outside this spring.
He still has.
My freshman that came in, Isaiah Carlson, Anthony Atkins, transfer from Army. So we have a pretty good room. Pretty good room.
How you keep getting all these stables? I feel like the thing is, it's like there has been times where it's like you're saying, like you're a good teacher, and I've seen you, like no matter what talent you do get into your room, when they leave your room, they're better. I seen myself, Josh Kelly, being on the way he started out on scout team to the way he left and onto the Chargers, the way Felt came from the receiver room into your room, and the way Felt left. I mean, even Charbonnet, I mean, I know he was a great talent at Michigan and everything, but it was clear that just like even the growth that he had to leaving as a back. So like, how are you able, one, to get all these dudes in your room through the portal, through, I mean, even with TJ Harden being a freshman, like getting all these dudes recruiting, and then like, how do you work with having all the, you know what I'm saying? Because running back, like, that's a position where you have one on the field. It's not linebacker where like, okay, I can put, you know, these guys inside, I could put these guys outside. So like, one, how do you get them all to come in there? Especially because, like I said, it's a position where you play one. So, you know, a guy might be like, oh, they got Zach Charbonnet. If I'm TJ Harden, like, dang, I might not be able to play as a true freshman. Let me go to, you know, let me go across the street or go to Cal where I can start right away. Like, how has all that worked out for you? Like, how do you make all that work?
It's mostly the older guys, because if you can convince them that competition is good, then everything is okay. You know, they all come in and want to compete. Oh, yeah, Britton Brown, too.
Dog.
Exactly. So it's just that they all come in and want to compete and they listen. That's the number one thing. So if I can convince you, like, if you compete and play and go hard, it's going to go right. And the track record is speaking for itself now. So it's not, you know, with Josh Kelly, I knew Josh was going to be good, but I didn't know Josh was going to be that good. You know, you could see he had talent when he was on scout team, but he just took it to a new level those next 2 years. Sure. Yeah. You know what I mean? And then Felt would come in there. We always knew Felt was tough. He's running down on kickoff. He played bigger than he was, you know, and he was just a football player. So good when he moved back to running back. And there was a background from high school. So once he moved back to running back, he understood that, you know, that worked out. So
yeah, Brent I remember Brown, you had me test his pass pro a few times.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. But when he fought back, I remember one day he fought back and I was like, oh, Felt do got a little dog in him now.
Yeah. Right.
He backed down from it at all.
And it's little stuff like that too, that they don't know that I do. Like, hey.
Yeah. See,
you know what I mean? Like, it's just stuff like that. So it's just finding the ways that you can get guys, coach them, teach them how they learn. You know, some guys might not want to be talked to in front of other players. So, you know, you gotta find that medium and go from there. But I'm just unfortunate that I've had guys that listen, and you know, they're like, we all went bowl to Top Golf recently, and in my head I don't think that what I'm teaching them is so, like, I'm just thinking this is just stuff, but them coming back and the stuff that they're saying, Paul Perkins was there, he's like, man, you teach me this, and just hearing Josh, and Zach was there too, and, you know, and Britton came also. So just hearing them like say, like, I would teach, like, little stuff that I think is nothing was big thing.
I was actually going to ask you about that. I had that in my notes. That was a pretty impressive picture there. And I'm just wondering how you've been kind of coordinating. You get all those guys, you know, a lot of those guys are training, practicing in the NFL. They're kind of getting their routines down, especially someone like Zach who just got drafted. But how do you get them to kind of come aboard to Top Golf along with the current group of guys you have and just overall? You think it was a good learning experience for some of the younger guys?
Yeah, because it's a lot of hidden messages and stuff, you know? Like, they were there because I wanted them to hear just, like, how the stuff that we're doing here translates to the NFL. So not even the running back room, just how Coach Kelly has us practicing, the speed of practice, the pace, getting there early, having a routine. Like, is this helping you? So Zach's telling them it's helping him. Paul is telling them that it helped him when he was there, Britt's doing the same thing in Josh. So it's still a, like, we're having fun, but it's still a tool that you can use and they're learning as you're just having fun. And it's not coming from me. They're getting right. the same message, but it's not coming from me. So that was huge. Because Zach was like, I have a little bit of stuff I want to tell him. I was like, yeah, just go to Topgolf.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Okay. And one thing I'm also curious about is I'm curious to learn about your recruitment and how what attracted you to UCLA as a player. And then again, how much different is recruiting now that you're kind of on the other side of it as a coach?
Back then it was like area recruiting. So your area coach mm-hmm. is the guy who you talk to. So he might not even have been the running back coach.
Okay.
You know, so some schools I still talk to the running back coach, but it was just different like that. Just UCLA had beat them like 7 years in a row, the people across the street. So that wasn't a good look.
Do we not say their name at all? Is that what's going on here?
Because exactly. It's just,
okay.
We ain't worry about them dudes
at all. You know, so it was that was what 7 years in a row, 6 years in a row,
mm-hmm.
and then you know UCLA was coming off 10 game winning streak. We won 10 more my freshman year, won 20 in a row, then went to the Rose Bowl. So it was just a good team. You know, I just, you know, being in the area, I wanted to stay home.
Okay.
And those people across the street wanted me to play DB. So.
Oh, were you playing? I'm assuming you were playing both in high school?
Yeah, I was. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, were a lot of the schools, like, was it like everyone else kind of maybe wanted you at running back, but the other school wanted you?
Yeah, a few schools were staying both back. But I think people were telling me running back, and then we're gonna get me out there and switch me.
You can kind of read into it a little bit based on you meet with the DB coach or talk to him a little bit. Yeah.
Exactly, start seeing through things. But okay, but recruiting now is just totally different now. Like it's just a whole different dynamic. It's different from when Josh was being recruited to today.
Man, you know what I mean, I think I still doing UCLA, but hey,
it's just crazy. It's weird, right? It's a whole different. Oldest
with the portal with NIL, like I know kids are like, and their parents are waiting, like weighing in on that as far as like some kids are definitely just chasing the bag of like, how can I provide for my family now? Imagine like you know, the single parent kid that comes from nothing. It's like, dang, I can go to this school and make six, almost seven figures now, or go to a top school and have to wait 3 years to get to the NFL. Like, I'm just going to chase that bag quick. So it's like, I mean, how is UCLA competing with Tennessee in that sense, probably Texas, and like, you know, some of the SEC schools that are able to lobby more money up front.
We just really got to stick to our blueprint. You know, it's working right now. It's just tough. You know, the landscape of college football is changing, so you have to shift with it, but you still got to make good decisions. You know, it's just it's tough. It's not an easy thing. There's nothing easy about it, but it's the way that college football is going. You got to be able to adjust, and you know, right now we're in the mix of adjusting to everything, but you know, still stick to your core values and everything, and it should work out. Once you start getting away from stuff that you're not normally doing, then that's going to change. As long as we stick to our core values and what we're trying to do and how we've been recruiting because it's working, and just go ahead. I know it might not be the most fanciest player recruiting and everything, but I would be more honored if a school offered three running backs than 15. That's just me.
Facts.
You know what I mean?
That's a good point. Me. Yeah.
You can't convince me that you really like me if you're able to offer 15 other guys in the country. That's just you can't convince me of that. So I just, you know, I'm trying to keep it at a low number. All the other coaches do the same thing. And it lets you get more personal with the kids. So we try to, you know, develop a relationship with those couple guys and get them to buy in and go from there.
I think
it is most definitely changed.
Yeah, like that was one of the biggest things in my time there. It was getting guys that wanted to be there for what they signed up for, you know what I'm saying? For ball, for the team, and for, I mean, for your degree, of course, too, but guys that want to be there to work out, guys that want to be there to play. I think that was one of the biggest things where it's like a few of our classes while I was there is like, all right, these dudes don't want to be here for UCLA football. These guys want to be in LA or be in, you know. So I can tell, especially with the classes that have came with Chip staff, I mean, you included, but like, you know, with the, you know, the new staff, the newer staff, it's guys that they look like they want to be there, like a kid like Alex Johnson or, you know what I'm saying? Guys that like, and that came in with Chip's early classes where it's like, they were on scout and they were playing like hard because they wanted to, you know what I'm saying? Where it's like that, and that
no
helped
light
develop.
At the end of the tunnel. Yeah. No light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah. Like they just,
saying
that's
they're
going
to play or anything, but he's dedicated to the team and I'm going to do my part and look what it turns into.
Yeah. We're now we're getting, like Greg Dulcich in the league. Like, you know, it's, John Gaines, like the guys that, that, you know, in that process were like, oh, y'all need a look. I'm gonna give you the best look I can give. I'm gonna do whatever I need to help the starters or whoever's playing right now. And weren't worried about no scholarship. Weren't worried about, you know, all that, but panned out for the Bruins and helped like win games, you know?
Yep.
So definitely that's noticeable. And like you said, that's the blueprint. It's going to keep going. How's that going to translate going into the Big Ten?
I don't know. You know, we haven't sit there and had meetings about what's changing going into, you know what I'm saying? So
yeah,
coach isn't like that. He's not, he's right now. We're not, you know, he doesn't, we're in the season. So once next season, you know, once the season ends and you know what's going on, I'm sure he'll have a plan for us.
That, hey, that's the same message that Chip has. I mean, when we talk to him with the media, he doesn't let us, you know, he it's like we're just focused on this year, which I get. But just looking at this year, I mean, this is kind of the last go around for for a lot of you know, the Cal Stanford traditions, rivalries. Like I think those teams have played each other like maybe 100 years in a row or something. Like, are you gonna miss, or is it gonna be weird not having that on the schedule anymore, or what is that like
this year for you? What I think that they should do is that, so due to our travel and however long, you know, whatever our travel is for the Big Ten, we should be playing the local teams in the preseason.
Yes.
So we should play Cal, Stanford, San Diego State, Fresno. We should be playing these guys no matter what. You know what I mean? We could keep that plus California game. So hopefully they pick that up. But
That's what that I was saying. As soon as they said, I'm like, you have to keep Stanford and Cal. Like, the same way that SC plays Notre Dame every year, like it has to be Stanford and Cal are like to UCLA. Those games mean something to us. You know what I'm saying? Where it's like, we want to be, you know, of course we get to play SC with them coming with us, but like Stanford and Cal are games, they have to figure out a way to like at least rotate one every year, if not play both of them in the non-conference games.
Exactly. Some kind of
That's a good point. Now I don't feel crazy because I've been saying that. Like, I'm like, you got to somehow, you know, keep them on the non-conference schedule or something. But, you know, everything, sometimes it's more than just football and there's other factors that get involved in that. But one thing I was curious about that happened this offseason, and we've kind of talked to you about it a little bit when you've talked to the media during the spring, but how is the new title, associate head coach, kind of change your responsibilities or some of your day to day, has a lot of that kind of changed?
It's the same. No.
The title, I love the title though.
Yeah, I love the title too. I mean, nothing's going to my head or anything like that. It's just that's the same. You know, stuff has changed, but it's still the same.
That the next though? Like, is a head coach opportunity something that you would be interested in moving forward? You know, whether
most definitely. You want to make it to the highest point in your profession, you know, so head coach is the highest thing I can make it to in this thing. So I would most definitely love to do that.
Personally, yes. Like I say this all the time though, but it's like even me being a linebacker, like Coach Foss knows that he was one of the coaches that I could go to, like regardless of anything. And like, that's, I would say there's only a few coaches where I know that no matter what, that they would be honest with me and tell me what I needed to hear you know, regardless of, mm-hmm. you know, what they feel like they have to say as a coach or whatever it is, like, mm-hmm. Coach Foss is one of the only coaches that, like, if something was going on, like, I would talk to Foss about it, like, regardless of what it was. Mm-hmm. And I, like, I trusted his input. And that's me coming from a linebacker, you know what I'm saying? Like,
not in my room all the time, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And I know, like, other dudes the same. I know Pick was the same way, and, like, other dudes had that trust for you, Coach Foss, and, like, that's what you need. I mean, from like when a head coach, like, I would want to come play for you. And I was talking to Chris Barnes yesterday about just the things that, like, some coaches do to take care of their players that makes you want to, like, go harder for them. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, the coaches that show that love, they might, you know, lighten the schedule a little bit. You know, give you a walkthrough day on a day, usually practice. Like, those are the coaches you'd be like, okay, when it's my time to go, I'm about to go all out for them because of all the extra things. And I know, like, you, that's how you're going to be. You're going to take care of guys, and you're going to be real and honest because, I mean, you know, I've seen a lot of coaches in that building come and go, and I could tell, you know, motives and just, like, college coaches in general, like, it's just a business, you know, like, you have your family to feed and that kind of thing. So, like, I can tell when coaches give me an answer and it's like, you know, it's robotic. It's like, oh, I have to tell this kid this, or I have to, you know, like, Foss is going to tell it to me plain, like, true, real, and what I really, you know, need to hear. And I was always appreciated that. So, you know, giving your flowers, Coach Foss. And of course, when you are the head coach and you need an LB coach or a defensive GA.
Get it in. Go ahead.
Ain't nothing wrong. No.
I don't blame you.
You know a guy. So, you know. Hit my line. I'll be there.
Your assistant coach probably going to be the DC. So, you might, you know, you're already going to have somebody on staff that you know.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know what I'm saying? All right. And I'm going to be his LV coach. So, we good.
Right?
I love how you kind of fit yourself into that, Josh. Very nice.
Because Foss already knows. I already talked to him about that.
Oh, okay.
But I just try to. I don't lose the player aspect that I have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how I wanted to be talked to, how I wanted to be coached, how I wanted somebody to be honest with me. Because at the end of the day, if you do all of that, like you said, you'll go run through a wall for him. It doesn't matter what he said. Like, I'll do it. Like, all right, I'll do it. Because I know you got my best interest and you're really looking out for me.
Yeah.
So I just try to make sure that. And even with guys out of position, I just try to make sure, like, I'm something you can trust me. You can talk to me. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because sometimes I need to get the temperature of the team. Like, Wizzy, what's going on?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, how?
There were some moments in the changeover where it was, where we had to have these conversations because, like, it's like.
What? Is everything okay?
The dynamic. Like, it was something I was like, damn, I don't know, because it was like we just couldn't gel for a little bit. Like, my last years, it sucked. Like, Foss knows, like, it sucked. Like, it was, we were trying to figure it out. The coaches were trying to figure out, like, you know, players from the old staff, the new staff, you know, figuring all that type of stuff out. Of course, you have position changes. Like, I changed positions. Other dudes sacrificing to go try and play other positions. We didn't have no depth because our numbers were low because so many guys left. And we just, like, frustrated, losing. And, yeah, there's times where it's like, Coach, I don't know what we going to do. Like, I'm trying my best out here.
Exactly.
And
like, how's the team?
Yeah, like, and like, it all worked out for, I would say, the later classes, but they had the, I think it was good that they had some of us older guys at the end, or like in their beginning, you know what I'm saying? Where you had Amia, Chris Barnes, you had Osa, you had Felt was a little older, you know, Josh Kelly, Caleb Wilson a little bit. And it's like, yeah, we had to go through them sucky years, but now, like, I'd be bragging about the Bruins all the time. And I love seeing that. I feel like when you know, seeing them win, seeing, you know, Dorian shine, seeing, you know, all this, it's like, dang, I didn't get it. It wasn't, you know, I didn't play or I didn't get the win, but I felt like I won with them, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
But
You can't say that we haven't improved each year. Each year,
you definitely have. Yeah,
definitely.
So that's the number one thing I like to know. Each year we've improved, we've been better, and the sky's the limit this year. You know, hopefully we go out of the Pac-12 with a bang, and then get ready for the Big Ten. But I'm excited for the season. I like the team, I like the players, a lot of depth. You know, depth is huge in college football. We got a lot of depth, especially in my room, quarterback room, O line, tight end. You know,
yeah.
And then I'm excited for the defense. A lot of guys came back. You know, Latu, the Murphs.
Darius, linebacker. I like Darius. I like the kid from Cal.
John. Finney, Big Finney. Mm-hmm. You know, so I'm excited. I'm really excited for this season.
You got a good defense giving you guys a pretty good look every day, don't you?
Yeah, spring was tough. That was one of our toughest springs. You know, guys were out there, they're playing ball, flying around, tackling and doing a good job. Well, not a lot of tackling, but guys doing a good job. So I was pretty excited for that. You know, you always want to see the other side of the ball doing well. So I was excited to go out there and dominate us the way that we did.
One question I have for you that I'm curious to get your take on, because I was talking to Josh Kelly. He was on the podcast not too long ago. And I think I asked him, like, how did you get recruited? How did you end up being a Bruin? And he said he randomly called the front office and they directed him to you. And you didn't pick up the first time, but he called again and you picked up. Do you remember that?
Yeah, Josh recruited me. So
okay.
Josh wanted to leave. He wanted to leave UC Davis. He had called me. Kept calling me. They told me, hey, this running back Josh Kelly's on the phone. I got him on the phone. Like, what's up, bro? Hey, I want to walk on. Like, we got a tryout in the summer. But this might be January. This is right after the season. So he called from January to the summer.
Wow.
You know, like, just kept calling. Like, hey, we still got that workout. Like, yeah, we're going to have a workout. We're going to have a camp. You can come out here. Finally, the summer got here. After 97 phone calls. I mean, he's calling the front desk. The office girls got used to talking to him. Like, oh,
they knew him before he even came.
Exactly. Like, it's Josh Kelly again, Coach Foss. You know, so I just like that he was so persistent. And then once he came to our camp, he ran fast. And I was like, wait a minute, something's up. He ran fast. I remember watching some film. He ran maybe two kick returns back. And I was like, no, we got to take this kid. Coach Morrow was like, cool. He took him as a walk-on, and then Coach Kelly put him on scholarship.
Crazy.
Do you still get calls like that today? And if you're listening to that, I'm not saying, like, call and blow up Deshaun Foster's phone. Don't do that. But do they call like that, or do you get emails and stuff? Like,
they'll hit direct message on social media now.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Times have changed. Even since Josh Kelly. That's right.
Exactly. They're more just straight. They'll send me their film every day. So it's instant now, you know. So it's good. It's a cool.
Mm-hmm.
It's cool. It doesn't bother me, you know. You want kids that are eager and want to play football, like Josh was saying. Like, you got to get kids that want to play football.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
It's crazy though, because like, I still get hit up now by kids to come, and like during my time there, Foss lets you know, like, I had lots of dudes would ask if they could transfer. I'd always ask Foss, and Foss told me, like, how's his grades? I tell him what his grades are. And now that either shut the whole thing down, or I'd be like this. And then I tell him who it was, and he'd be like, maybe, maybe not. Dudes are always asking me, like, oh, can I transfer? And it'd always be like, if your grades aren't good, I can't do nothing for you.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. Because if you can't go to class, man, you're not even going to make it on the field.
Yeah. Like, right.
You know, because we expect you to be a man about things. Like, that's mm-hmm. the only thing. Like, and Josh can attest to this. Like, we weren't asking them to do a whole bunch of different stuff. It was just two different regimes came. One had left that something was a certain way, and the next one came that was a certain way, and it was just different. So a lot of guys was hard. Change was hard at that moment. But the stuff that they were asking was out of the ordinary. Nothing that...
You just show up on time. You have an
obligation. Yeah, that's it.
You show up literally, like, dudes couldn't, like, if you have an obligation, if you have class, tutoring, meals, which is free, like, go sign in. If you have class, sit in the first few rows, like, just be there. Like, dudes couldn't just be there.
Yeah, a lot, like, it was it was tough on some guys. So it was just it's just good that, you know, we weathered that storm. We got past that. The kids have stayed and fought through it, and you know, helped us be able to recruit these next classes and stuff that came through. Like it worked out for us. So you know, I'm just excited for the future of the Bruins. So.
We got a few minutes here. Want to try and ask you some fun questions while we have a moment.
Okay.
Favorite moment, memory, game at UCLA, either as a coach or a player.
Player, coach, player. My first SC game. I ate them boys up. I had like 4 touchdowns.
Oof, nasty.
50, yeah, 150 or something. But I went nuts. And then favorite game. I probably have 2 of them when Josh mm-hmm. Kelly broke the record in the SC game.
Okay.
Most yeah. yards.
Yep.
And then the Wazoo comeback.
Yeah. Ooh. Yep.
Yeah. Like the A&M comeback is in there, but I don't know. Something about that Wazoo comeback was different.
I think we were hitting from all angles that game. Like you had Felt crazy.
Yeah.
Like crazy. Kyle, you had
Kyle, yeah.
Defense was getting turnovers. I don't know. That one was there. And being away, like,
like it was,
that crowd was so hype and then so quiet.
There was no yelling at halftime.
That's what Josh said. Josh has said
there
that
was no yelling. Nothing
said that before. Yeah.
It was like, bro, just execute. We'll be straight. Just get out here and execute.
Yeah. I gotta go back. I gotta go watch that game again. I gotta go back. Game.
Yeah. That one was pretty. Like, and it was exciting. It was crazy. It was at home.
Yeah.
It was a good game, but Wazoo, that was really like
different.
That energy was just crazy.
A question I ask everybody, which usually a teammate, but this is different for you. Who was the hardest person that you had to go against? And who was the most talented person that you shared the field with? So like mine, I always say McCaffrey is the hardest person I went against, and Miles Jack is the most talented person I shared the field with.
Okay.
So who you got? It could be college or pro.
Yeah, they're going to be pros. So, I mean, these dudes are on my team, so it's more practice stuff.
Okay.
Like,
that's just
the toughest person. Yeah, toughest person to go against. Now there's Julius Peppers out there. There's Dan Morgan. Mm. There's John Beeson, Thomas Davis.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of edibles out there on that side of the ball. And then on my side, Smitty has them. Steven Davis was crazy too, but Steve Smith, there's nothing like that.
Dog.
And okay.
Just his size to speed ratio and the stuff that I've seen him do on the football field, like running there, 8 guys hit him, he spun out of it, took off, put his hand down, and ran away from her. Like I've seen him do that. You know what I mean? Like just some of the stuff I've seen him do with my own eyes was crazy. But Pep the same way. Like, you know, we had some real athletic guys. Then now somebody not on my team playing again, you know, like for me, it was different. Like it was more DBs that were more like safeties and stuff because they're unaccounted for. Them guys just coming running down.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like Ray Lewis was somebody, he's going to get his hands on you. If he grabs you, he's a grappler. So if he gets his hands on you, he got you. Like, you don't want him touching you, period. You know what I mean? Like, stuff like that. So, but the Tampa Bay Bucks had a real good defense back then. So John Lynch, Derek
Dog,
Warren Sapp, Kenny Wright. You know what I mean? That's what I'm playing against my first few years in the league, twice a year. So
not twice.
Yeah, twice a year. The Bucks defense was that was a little bit torn.
My last
and
question.
Oh yeah, Michael Vick too.
Can't forget Michael Vick.
My last question. Why don't you let me play running back?
Oh, he's been talking about this for forever now.
It was Miles. Miles did all this.
I wanted that package.
Yeah, he was like, come on, let me just get one. They would have got mad at me.
Man, like, let me just get one hand off. Like, if it don't go well, like, that was my shot. It's cool.
I think if you had an offensive head coach, it would have happened.
Damn.
Well, you know what I mean? But Jim ain't going to let you go. He wouldn't let that happen. Like, nah.
There's your honest answer, Josh.
Yeah. Foss was trying to get me, though. There were times where he was trying to pull me away.
He's like, come on. Let him come over here. Took this ride.
All right, Deshaun, we'll get you out of here before it cuts off. Congratulations to having the baby on the way, you and your wife.
Thank
wishing
you
all the best. And best of luck this season. I look forward to covering you guys as always.
Most definitely. Thanks, bro.
Thanks, Coach
Boss. Good talking to you, Wizzy.
All right, yes, bro. Sir.
All right, you guys have a good one. Take care.
This is the Believe in UCLA Football Podcast presented by Bet Online.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.